You're listening to the IFL TV podcast in association with Lonsdale MTK Global, sponsored by William Hill. This is Kruben Kassis for IFL TV in association with MTK Global. Delighted to be joined by a very bronze-looking Eddie Hearn. I know you've been travelling around, making deals and whatever else.
It's been a fruitful month. Good to see you, son. Are you still moaning?
About what?
Well, because you had a little moment, you threw your toys out of the pram a little bit, didn't you? Like, oh, we're not friends anymore, mate. Oh, not got time for IFL anymore.
19 what? Dates.
Get this one, yeah?
19
what about
dates.
This one? What about this one? On. When I've done an Akenbrack interview and you piped up. Oh, see, you've done an Akenbrack interview. Ain't got time for the IFL interview. Oh,
I didn't really say that.
You were throwing your toys out of
really
the pram.
Say
you did.
That.
You did. No, all good, mate. Ready to go. I mean, look, we finished last year, didn't we? With a howling schedule. AJ, 1,000 people back. Canelo Smith, 12,000 people back. And I really felt that we'd go into this year, you know, getting back to normal. And we've just gone 10 steps back. No boxing in January. I didn't feel like that was a bad decision for the board. I get it. But I think they really had to come back with boxing in February. You know, the government allowed elite sport and we've got to crack on. So we've cracked on. And I wanted to come back with shows, almost like a fight camp feel. You know, I know we're not outdoors in the garden, but, you know, that same kind of feel of, you know, deep cards and as many 50-50 fights on the undercard as we can, etc. And I think we've got a cracking schedule. I think we've probably got the best schedule that we've started the year for many years. February the 13th, IBF World Champion, Josh Warrington, out of the ring for, I think, about 15 months now. Fights Maurizio Lara. Zelfa Barrett against Kiko Martinez, great fight. Big step up for Zelfa Barrett on that card. Reese Mould against Lee Wood for the British featherweight title on that card. Dalton Smith against Lee Appleyard. Big step up for him. Great fight for him. Shannon Courtney on that card. Hopi Price on that card. So that's the first one. And do you want to talk individually about them? Or
no, I know we've got time. We've not got loads of time. So we're going to try and condense all this information we're getting. Can you just clarify the Warrington-Kanzu situation? Mm-hmm. And obviously, I know you've spoken about it, but tell us why.
Yeah, it's frustrating. I mean, look, the deal with Kanzu was he wanted crowds to return. So originally, this fight was due for Headingley. Then we were going to do it in Leeds. And then, obviously, having AJ back with 1,000 people, his whole deal was set up around, you know, X amount of fans. And more importantly, he wanted fans in the arena. And Robert Diaz and myself have been working really hard to close that fight out. We basically, Kanzu said, could we not just wait till April or May when we got more chance of getting fans? And obviously, travelling over from China for the fight, everything became a little bit difficult. We started to run out of time. We also have the Kid Galahad situation as well, which, you know, it's a mess, to be honest with you. The whole thing's a mess, and we're looking after Kid Galahad to make sure he's treated fairly. Josh Warrington's got to try and find the big fight. And I think for Josh, if he comes through Lara, he'll move very quickly into a fight with Kanzu or maybe even Gary Russell that we're in negotiations with as well. So it's just dealing with all the dynamics. But most importantly, it was a case of getting Josh out. He hasn't boxed for 15 months. So it's going to be weird for him boxing behind closed doors. But he needs to get out and he needs to be thrown in that big fight because he wants that defining night. You know, he wants to become Ring Magazine champion. And of course, you know, it's going to be difficult for him, like I said, behind closed doors. He's got to look good against Lara and then go straight into that kind of fight.
I understand Shannon Courtney will not be rematching Rachel Ball on that card. Can you explain that situation?
Yes, so Shannon Courtney, well, we'll get into that, but Shannon Courtney was due to fight Rachel Ball for the WBA Bantamweight Championship on that card. Rachel Ball wasn't ready for that date. She had an illness. So that fight takes place on April the 10th, confirmed. So Rachel Ball against Shannon Courtney for the WBA World Bantamweight Championship on the April 10th Conor Benn card. And Shannon Courtney will run out on February the 13th. She's been training hard. She's trained all over Christmas. She's ready to go. So she'll have a 6-round fight on February the 13th. And she'll fight Rachel Ball for the world title on April 10th.
Okay. Right, let's move from February 13th to
February 20th.
20?
Yeah. I mean, I love this fight. David Avanesian against
Will
Josh
Will it finally happen?
Yes, it will happen. And it will happen because, obviously, Avanesian wants this fight bad, but Josh Kelly wants this fight bad, and so does Adam Booth. Everyone understands. No one can move on till this fight is over. Three postponements or whatever it's been. Feb 20, this fight happens. This is a fucking brilliant fight. Shit. This is a brilliant fight.
Is your watch okay?
No, I don't know. This is a brilliant fight. Brilliant fight. We find out everything we need to know about Josh Kelly in this fight. Anthony Fowler returns against Jorge Fortera. One of my favourite fights of the schedule, Ryland Charlton against Florian Marku. Just absolutely loved that fight. Romford Bull, Johnny Fisher, makes his pro debut. Robbie Davis Jr. set to fight on that card as well. Love the card. But for me, of all the fights, and I know obviously we've got a huge run to talk about on March 6th, I just love this fight. I love this fight. I can't wait. Okay. I can't wait for the needle in the bubble as well, to be fair. Neil Marsh, Carl Greaves, Adam Booth, that whole mix. It's going to be double lively.
Right, we move from the 20th to...
March 6th. It's the big one.
Pay-per-view.
Pay-per-view, baby. White Povetkin, the rescheduled November fight. A lot of people said too early for Dillian White. He didn't think so, but now we get that fight March 6th. How big is that fight for Dillian White? Was that a cross between huge and cheese?
Yes.
So it was a huge. So basically, that fight is everything. It's the biggest fight announced so far, 2021.
How is Povetkin's health situation?
Good. He's in camp. That's why they wanted to have that bigger break. They're not. You know, they have to win this fight themselves. So they're not going to go into a fight ill prepared. So Povetkin ready to fight. Dillian White more than ready to fight. Dillian White must win. I mean, a defeat for him in that fight is horrendous for his world championship dreams. It's massive, that fight. You imagine just a couple of minutes before that first bell, everyone is going to be absolutely shitting themselves, me included. But Dillian's got the bit between his teeth. He's ready for this fight. And I believe he's going to win the fight.
Who else will feature on that card?
So there's two championship fights still to be announced. We've already confirmed Ted Cheeseman against JJ Metcalf.
Great fight.
Brilliant fight. British, light middleweight championship. Fabio Wardley will step up against Eric Molina on that card. Good heavyweight fight. One really big fight to be added and another championship fight. And Campbell Hatton will make his pro debut. No pressure, son. On White Povetkin. They're going to be the date for his pro debut, and I can't wait. Like I said, absolutely all or nothing for Dillian White March 6th.
You've made some comments that if, touch wood, Dillian comes through that rematch with Povetkin, you want him to face Deontay Wilder.
I just love the fight. I mean, look, Dillian wants to get back in a mandatory position and force a shot at the world title. We all know, you know, we're trying to do Fury against AJ. I just love Dillian against Wilder, don't you? I just think it's
brilliant.
I mean, one, it's a great fight. Two, the build up will be mental. But for many years, Dillian White was calling out Deontay Wilder, and obviously Wilder lost. Now he's calling Dillian White out. Forget about, oh, now you want me, and now then you didn't. Fuck that. Excuse my language. Make the fight, you know. But let's just get one thing right. Dillian White just got knocked out against Alexander Povetkin. He's got to rematch him first. But if he can win, and I believe he will, I think there's some massive fights out there, and I just love Wilder White. I do. Mm.
Right, moving on from March the 6th to...
March 20, Lawrence Okolie will fight Christoph Glowacki for the WBO World Cruiserweight Championship. Massive opportunity for Lawrence this time. He'll headline a card, looked fantastic last time out against Jezuski. Chantel Cameron will face her mandatory Melissa Hernandez in a defence of her WBC World title. Chris Billum-Smith will fight Dion Juma
for
the British Cruiserweight title. Great fight. Also on that card... lost me marbles. Also on that card, Joe Caldina will return. How can I forget the Welsh Wizard? He'll be returning on that card as well. Ramla Ali will be on that card as well. It's all coming back to me now, son. A couple of weeks off, but you're alright, it's all still there. Still sharp as they come, son. Sharp as they come. Can't wait. I just think Okolie Glowacki is a great fight, you know, for any Brit to become a world champion. And let's have it right. I know that people moan about vacant world title fights. That's a proper vacant world title fight. If he beats Glowacki, you can't moan about him deservedly world champion. And I believe he punches harder than any cruiserweight out there. I believe he's so dangerous. Shane McGuigan's done a great job. He's getting better and better, Lawrence. And I believe he's going to become world champion on March 20.
From March 20 to...
April 10th, Conor Benn against Samuel Vargas.
Great fight.
Great fight. Conor's wanted that fight for about 12 months now. Obviously, remember, Vargas fighting Amir Khan, good fights with Collazo, fought Virgil Ortiz. He's a tough fight. I mean, you know, Formella came and survived a little bit, but this guy's going to come to fight. It's going to be a firefight. Big statement for Conor Benn. Two world championship fights on that undercard. Savannah Marshall will defend her world middleweight championship, and Shannon Courtney will fight Rachel Ball for the WBA World Bantamweight Championship. Felix Cash and Cash Farouk also returning to that card as well. There's probably something that I've missed out on some cards. You know, sorry for if I have. And yeah, it's another big show. Big opportunity for Conor Benn, of course. Everyone talking about Conor Benn facing Josh Kelly. And obviously, if they both get through those challenges, that's something we'd love to do.
What's the situation regarding Felix Cash and Denzel Bentley?
So Felix Cash, yeah. We've contacted the board the other day and said, can you hurry up with this? We want to get the purse bid underway for that fight.
So you're bang up for that fight?
100%. Yeah. Great fight. Yeah. Denzel Bentley's a good fighter. Felix Cash, is, you know, we back him to win that fight. We're also in talks for him to fight Cignani for the European Middleweight Championship. So we'll see what happens, but we're all up for the Denzel Bentley fight. I think it's a great fight.
So 10th of April.
Yeah, and then we go into the end of April, which we haven't announced yet. Katie Taylor will return towards the end of April. Lerone Richards for the Europeans. Loads to add.
So this is your initial schedule? Which is
April 10th, yeah. Five shows in the UK between Feb 13 and April 10. Have some of that.
Okay. Where will these shows take place?
I've not got a clue. I don't know. I mean, we've
Wembley is a possibility?
Yeah, Wembley. A few other venues as well. I think that it makes sense to stage it all under one roof. You know, I talked to Dillian the other day and he really wants fans back for his fight with Povetkin. So, you know, we may take that one on the road. But it's likely we'll build a residency, could be back at Wembley, and we'll announce that. Oh, isn't he? Wembley. Because it's easy for you, isn't it?
Oh, it's easy for me, it's an hour and a half away from
you. Oh, terrible.
You just made it sound like it was on my doorstep, but it is.
So we'll be putting that together over the next week, just finalising stuff now. And we'll make sure the board are happy, because, you know, it's they've also taken a leap of faith to be doing these shows.
Despite the board obviously giving the green light for boxing to resume in February, do you have any concerns going into this next phase of boxing, Eddie?
About what?
Just about everything, like the whole just being in a pandemic situation. With
no,
COVID.
I mean, we, you know, you've been part of our bubbles. I think they're the best bubbles in boxing. The safety of our staff, the safety of our fighters is paramount. You know, we'll keep talking to the board. The one thing to consider, you know, when you look at a location of a fight in this pandemic is, one, are you able to get the best care for a fighter in a result of an injury or a fighter that needs urgent medical attention? And are you putting unnecessary strain on the NHS if, you know, in a specific area? So there's a list of areas that the board would probably prefer us to go. We'll listen to them. We'll make sure that the you know, the facilities, the care, the medical attention for the fighters is second to none. We'll make sure that we can, you know, help wherever we can with the NHS. But elite sport must continue and boxing must continue. And we can't afford to not continue because the sport will suffer. So, like I said, I think this is the best schedule. We've never put a schedule like this together, you know, announced five shows straight off the bat. It's always, you know, this is our first show and this comes next. So we have, and by the way, it's going to be an absolute nightmare. I mean, when you talk about concerns, I don't really have those concerns. What I have concern about is tomorrow, a fight falls through. Next day, another one. And then you replace it. I'm saying to fighters right now, stay ready. Fighters, you will get opportunities in this pandemic if you are ready. And, you know, you saw yesterday, I think it was Kovalev failed a drugs test. And
yeah, what did you think about that?
I don't really know enough about it. He's failed a drugs test, you know, fights off. And then Rakhimov tested positive against Jojo Diaz. Two shows just, you know, thrown into doubt. And this is how it's going to be. I spoke to Robert Diaz. Yes, I said, and we all thought that we were over the worst. The worst is just coming now in terms of the logistics of doing shows. But, you know, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to sit home and moan, or are you going to fucking roll your sleeves up and get stuck in? The latter. that's what we're going to do about it. And, you know, you go through the disappointments, you wake up to the bad news, you solve the bad news, you overcome that. You know, that's how things are going to be over the next few months. But we've got no choice, because otherwise the sport stops and we're not having that. Are we, son?
No, absolutely not, Edward.
Oh, louder. Are we, son?
No, mate!
Hey!
Eddie, was you surprised about the Cobblehead situation?
What, in failing drugs test?
Yes.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, it was a good fight. I was looking forward to it, actually. But with Cobblehead, it was quite weird, because I messaged someone a day before. Actually, it looked like I had some inside information. And I said, because they moved the fight from Russia to America. And I said, do you think this fight will happen? And they went, yeah, why? Do you not? And then the next day that happened, and they texted me last night going, how do you know that? I said, I didn't. But with Kovalev, anything can happen, can't it? I didn't expect this to happen, but yeah, you know, it is what it is.
Can you clarify the situation with Estrada and Chocolatito?
Yeah, weird.
Is there a situation?
There is no situation. Okay. I mean, someone, I think it was the trainer of Estrada, said that he's heard that Chocolatito wants to delay the fight. So all of a sudden, I mean, that fight is so horny for hardcore fans. Do you know that, don't you? Like, this fight is like the ultimate. All of a sudden, I've gone on my Twitter, you arsehole Hearn, you've announced a fight without the... Both guys have signed contracts for this fight. You know, it's already in their agreement. When we announce a fight, we don't just go, yeah, just fucking announce it on March 13th and we'll speak to the fighters later. We spoke to the fighters' teams, their promoters, their managers, everything's done. So I'm getting these messages. I'm going back to Zanfa and Mr. Honda, you know, Tekken, and said, what's going on? And they said, no, he's going to camp on Monday. He's in Mexico going to camp. It's 8 weeks away, we're all good. So they're both in camp, March 13th. We're actually finalising the venue, which looks like Texas. Yeah, so all good.
Okay, Eddie, Bob Arum has made some comments this week talking about the Joshua Fury fight, saying that talks are progressing very well and that also a location has been secured. Can you make any comment on this, please?
The first bit's right. Talks are going great, you know, and I expect a deal to be reached in the coming weeks. Certainly no location is secured, but...
Is there a front runner?
Oh, there's been multiple offers. We haven't got too deep into that yet because we want to get the deal done. I don't want to go and start approaching venues when we don't have a deal in place with the fighters. So, you know, what we'll do is we'll make sure the fighters are happy with the term. Oh, shit, I've done it again. And then we go to the venues and look at finalising the deal. So, you know, there's been some significant offers. There's been some huge interest. But it's still in play.
Singapore?
Yep. There's been approach from there as well.
Saudi, obviously.
Yep. Qatar.
Dubai?
Yep.
Okay.
China. Place in Eastern Europe.
UK? A
couple of Australia.
UK?
No, because, I mean, we're going to need 100,000 at Wembley.
Yeah.
To even consider that. What in May? I mean, do you want to back that? Can you just
no.
Bankroll that gate just in case that don't happen for me, please? So, yeah, I just think we've got to get this fight made. Most importantly, you know, not that I don't care about Fury, but I want to make sure AJ's happy with everything, and then we'll go to the market with Bob. We'll speak to the relevant parties who want to make the relevant bids for this fight, this mega fight, and then we'll collectively make a decision about what's best for the fighters.
But the part about them potentially earning up to 100 million each, is that accurate?
Yeah, I think that's possible, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, look, a lot, you know, when you do a fight like that, it's dependent on the site fee and, of course, the pay-per-view revenue is the biggest. It's the biggest fight in boxing. It could be the biggest fight of all time. I mean, that's the size of this fight you're talking about. It's the ultimate.
Bob makes comments like talks are progressing well and et cetera. What, can you tell us a little bit about what those talks are at this stage?
Generally finalising contracts, you know, going through all the outstanding points. Solving any stumbling blocks. It's difficult because I just did an interview with Sky and it's like, I don't really want to talk about it because everyone gets bored about it. I think if you over talk something, people get bored with saying it's close. But everyone wants to talk about it. So it's difficult because unless you just say I'm not talking about it, which is not our job really, but you say the same things all the time. It's progressing. When it's done, we'll let you know. You keep saying it's progressing, but yeah, because it is. I'm being asked about it. So all I can tell you is we're moving in the right direction, and hopefully, and I believe, we will get it done.
I found it a little bit concerning that you label it as a 90% chance that this fight happens. But it's a funny amount.
I don't know Tyson Fury. You know, I don't. But when someone says to you, that question comes in all the time. What percentage? I don't know.
Out of 10.
I know, but so I thought 90's, you know, pretty good, isn't it? I mean.
If it's 90.
Bob said 95. Well, I'll go at 95 if that makes everyone
happy. You go 95.
But you just don't. Listen, Tyson Fury might wake up tomorrow and say, I'm not doing it, or I'm injured, or I retire, or I don't. You know, I don't have a relationship with Tyson Fury. I don't know what he's thinking. The vibe I'm getting is he wants to fight. I know AJ does. So, but again, it comes down to AJ is the boss. You know, he has to be happy in this situation, which so far he is. Then we go out, we have to finalise the venue, make both, Tyson's got to be happy, AJ's got to be happy, and then we move forward. So I can't tell you yet. It's never 100% done till the geezer's about to go, seconds out! Wallop! Well, no. Ding!
Wallop.
Seconds out! Wallop!
Eddie, in an ideal situation for you, when do you want a contract signed by? 2 weeks, a month?
Yeah, I mean, same question. What percentage you've chosen? No, but I don't know. I mean, I want it signed today.
Yes, I know, but realistically. But
realistically, within 4 weeks. Within 4 weeks. I'll give myself a nice buffer. But I don't know, mate. You know what I mean? You know, there'll be drafting going back this week, next week, and everyone's ready to move forward and go to market, really.
Has it been spoken about whose name leads this fight?
Not yet, actually.
That needs one of them.
That
to
might
give.
Be the 10%. You know what I mean? But in that, you know, I don't know. It hasn't yet felt like it's that kind of.
It's not.
Do you know what I mean?
What, that feeling that you get that the fight.
Well, I'm not going. If I don't get that, the fight's off. Right. I've been there before. You know, I remember when Scott Quigg boxed Carl Frampton. Fuck me. And it was like, I'll get first choice changing rooms.
Was that the fight where you held out a check? The big check?
Yeah. It wasn't a big check. It was a small check.
Oh, I thought you had the big.
Yeah, but.
You had a big check.
Yeah, but. Did I get the fight, mate?
Yes.
Yeah, so why are you piping up?
I'm not. I'm just saying. The stuff you used to do in those meetings.
Well, there he is. Look at that. Look. Fucking look at that. Look.
I swear you offered Deontay Wilder like $5 million on one of these interviews once to take a fight.
Probably.
Okay.
We've had some fun though, haven't we?
Absolutely. Okay, WBO situation, Edward.
With what?
With Usyk. What is the latest with that?
The latest.
We know what you've said that you want to happen. You want them to fight for the interim.
I think in an ideal scenario, the WBO would say, of course, we will. Sanction the undisputed fight as the biggest fight in boxing, and in the meantime we will make the next two available for the interim world title, and the winner of that fight has to fight them, and if they don't, then the winner of the interim world title will become world heavyweight champion. But I think Usyk loves boxing. I think Usyk sees the value of an undisputed champion. He won't want to be the guy that stops that fight from becoming undisputed. But we can't just disrespect Usyk and say, oh, yeah, you know, don't worry about it. I mean, in his situation, he'll be looking for a step aside. But if, you know, and he needs to be happy with a resolution. But at the same time, the sport needs this fight. So, you know, I'm looking to speak with Usyk and Alex Krasuk. And try and find a resolution. You know, it's difficult because you've got Usyk fighting Joe Joyce. You know, we wouldn't be able to agree a deal with those guys. Or I wouldn't be able to agree a deal with Joe Joyce because, you know, it'll end up going to purse bids, which I think is great for both fighters because there'll be a nice bid up on that fight. But Usyk is in a strong position and he's got to be happy. you know, I think it's just not a case of, you know, sorry, Alex, you know, this is happening and we'll speak to you later. And I don't think the WBO, as keen as they are for the fight, and, you know, everyone's desperate for the fight, they'll want to make sure that, that, you know, he has rights in this situation.
Eddie, moving on, what did you make of Chris Eubank signing up with the Sowlands? And also, there's been a lot of talk about him, I mean, speaking about him fighting Kell Brook. And
yeah, I threw that. I just always, you know, remember with the Golovkin stuff, and, you know, I always felt that those two would be an interesting fight. So I had a good chat with Keller the other day, and we were talking about options, you know, what fights do we have, you know, obviously Golovkin and et cetera for Eubank. And I just threw Kell Brook into the mix, because there's a bit of spite there, you know, a bit of history. Obviously, there's a two division difference, but Kell's been up, you know, at 154 and once at 160. I don't know.
Did you mention Billy Joe for Chris yet?
No. That's not a fight right now that is of interest. Billy Joe needs that defining fight, you know, and for me, that's Canelo Alvarez. Demetrius Andrade has been ordered to fight Liam Williams. Actually, just received the letter today.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. So there's a purse bid, I think, 15 days time. So really, we need to make the Canelo Alvarez fight for Billy Joe.
Situation with the WBO calling that, you've kind of put Saunders Andrade on the back burner for the...
Yeah. I mean, you know, they've made their order for that fight, and I believe I can deliver the Canelo Alvarez, Billy Joe Saunders fight. But Billy's got, you know, same thing. Billy's got to be happy. And unfortunately, we're in a moment right now where there isn't a bumper gate in Vegas, you know, on the line. So you've got Canelo Alvarez, or, you know, other fighters might take less money, and some might not be willing to take less money, and etc. But, you know, for me, this is Billy's chance now to do what he's always said. You know, he believes he can beat Canelo Alvarez, and I believe we can make that fight for Cinco de Mayo. But Bill's got to be happy, and, you know, until Billy's happy with the deal for that fight, it won't happen. But I hope we can get to a point where he's happy, because he believes he can win a fight, and that's his moment to try and achieve greatness. So, you know, that's the conversations with him and MTK to say, let's try and make that fight for Cinco de Mayo.
What percentage are you
coming with? It's there. That fight. That opportunity is there for Billy.
Is he the front runner for Canelo right now?
Yeah, you know, you've got Yildirim, obviously, in a couple of weeks. I mean, it's five weeks away. So, Billy, that fight is there for Billy Joe. I think we have an opportunity to get that fight over the line. But again, Bill's got to be happy. Everyone's got to be happy with the deal. And, you know, talks are ongoing.
Well, I'm going to try and wrap these next few questions. Eddie, Kell Brook and Amir Khan, any movement on this?
No. I mean, it's only an interview that Amir gave. And
but Kel's come back on TalkSport and said,
"Yeah, he'd do it. Let's go champ, of course." I mean, look, the problem is when there was millions in that fight, I couldn't make it. Now there's a third of what was once in the fight. How do you make it now? So I said to Amir, "Let's meet up when you get back. You know, I'd look at it. I mean, I still like it. I love the build up. It's intriguing. So we'll see."
I'm not going to ask you what percent, because we've been 10 years. Well, not 10 years, 6 years.
20%.
20%? That's what you're giving me on this?
Yeah.
Cool. Well, we'll take it. Have you spoke to Kell Brook?
I just texted him the other day. Nothing major. I spoke to him after his fight with Crawford and just messaged him the other day. Yeah, a little update.
Okay. Devin Haney situation. Regarding Garcia.
So, listen, the WBC are going to order the fight between Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia. I want to make that fight. The Zone want to make that fight. Listen, if he fights Tank, I understand that's a big fight as well, so I wouldn't knock him for that, of course. But if he doesn't fight Tank, he should be fighting Devin Haney. And, you know, if we can't get that fight, I'd love to make Haney against Teofimo Lopez.
Liam Smith, anything in the pipeline for Liam?
Just trying to work out the Jesse Vargas fight. You know, difficult at the moment to make fights like that. But, you know, maybe looking to get Jesse Vargas and Liam Smith out separately in the next sort of 6 to 8 weeks and then make that fight in the summer. It's still a fight I'd love to see.
Anything for Callum Johnson out there at the moment?
No, I haven't spoke to Joe. Never come back to me since the sort of back and forwards. So, you know, I saw Callum Johnson say he wants a run out. I offered him a run out in November, and then a championship fight in February, and then another big fight in June. And since I've offered him that, he still hasn't boxed. So he should have taken it. And, you know, love to work with Callum Johnson still, but I'm making offers to fighters, and it's difficult. And if you don't take your opportunity or a slot, it goes to the next person and they take it very quickly.
Okay, well, I know you've got more important things to do.
Absolutely.
All right, I said it as a bit of a
joke. Oh, it's a joke. Sorry, mate. No,
banter, mate.
No, okay.
I've just looked out there. There's loads of merchandise out there. Mm-hmm. What are you doing? A little comp?
You want to do a comp?
Little comp for a little
T-shirt or a hoodie? It's cold. Hoodie.
Two hoodies.
Okay.
God, you say it. What do they got to do? Before you, why you think of this, Callis Allen said to me that they're not looking at Filip Hrgović and Michael Hunter anymore, they're looking at Bacoli.
Correct.
So when will that go on?
That will go early April, hopefully. I mean, certainly in April. There's going to be a big show, middle end of April, that we'll be working on, and that will be a fantastic fight for it. Hoodies. Okay. Lawrence Okolie turned his life around in a McDonald's in London. He was flipping burgers, and up on the big screen, he saw Anthony Joshua fighting for the Olympic gold. And he said, I'm going to change my life. What branch of McDonald's was it?
Okay.
That's a question for one hoodie.
Okay. Do the other one, and then I'll tell them how they do it.
Okay. Question two. Got any ideas?
No, mate. Because I didn't know I had to...
Let's just give two away for the right answer. The first two answers out, yeah? Or do you want to do two separate questions?
Someone might see that answer.
Oh, for fuck's sake, mate.
It's not personal to you, Eddie.
Okay.
Do you have a guessing game going on?
Okay. Okay. Chocolatito against Estrada is likely to take place in Texas on March the 13th. In not a traditionally huge Texas town, but where am I considering that fight taking place?
Within Texas?
Yes.
Okay. So, what you have to do is tag Eddie, tag myself, with the answer to one of the questions, and also hashtag it something. Go on, hashtag.
Hashtag. Hashtag hoodie.
Goodie.
Hashtag hoodie goodie.
Hoodie?
Hoodie.
What?
Hashtag hoodie goodies. Hoodie, goody, hoodie.
No, hoodie goodies.
Hoodie goodies.
HoodieGoodies.
Okay. Hashtag hoodie goodies.
With your answer. The first one on.
Okay, so well, you can monitor it. Yeah, great.
Right, April, thank you very much for talking to Eiffel TV. Have you got anything else you'd like to add?
No, I want to say we're back. 5 shows in the UK. Massive US announcements coming soon as well. This is going to be a massive year. Fans, no fans. You're going to be joining us for all the action. Thank you for your support. Whatever you're doing, however you're feeling right now in 2021, get up, dress up, and show the fuck up. Let's go.
Thanks for listening to the IFL TV podcast, sponsored by William Hill, in association with Lonsdale MTK Global.